This episode is sponsored by Celestron, manufacturer of high-quality telescopes and an industry leader in developing exciting optical products with revolutionary technologies.
I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during April. First, we'll check in with the moon, watch Venus play with the seven sisters, spot three planets before dawn, learn about the celestial twins, and finally hunt for meteors toward month's end. So grab your curiosity and come along on this month's Sky Tour. This is one of the better months for stargazing. Spring evenings are generally pleasant, and the bugs haven't taken control yet. Even with daylight time in effect, evening twilight comes fairly early. You'll find that the sun sets between 7:30 and 8 during most of this month, and by 9 p.m. it's good and dark. April begins with the moon at first quarter, and the full moon follows on April 7th. It's called the full pink moon because wild ground phlox are one of the earliest widespread flowers of the spring. Last quarter is on the 14th, new moon on the 22nd, and we get a bonus first quarter phase on the 30th. Let's go back to that full moon for a minute. More precisely, it occurs on April 7th at 10:35 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. But 8.5 hours earlier, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, the moon will be at perigee, the point in its orbit closest to Earth. In fact, it'll be closer to Earth than at any other time this year. This combination of being so close at full moon will create especially high tides in Earth's oceans. You'll also hear people calling this a supermoon, but honestly, it's not all that super. The lunar disk will be 7% wider and the moonlight 16% brighter than average. So here's a challenge. Go outside and take a good look on the night of April 7th. Can you tell that the moon is bigger and brighter than usual? I'll go out on a limb here and predict that no, you can't. If you haven't been out for a while, soon after sunset your gaze will undoubtedly be drawn to something odd and very bright over in the west. Is that a UFO? A jet plane on final approach? A supernova? Nope, it's the planet Venus, which has been a brilliant beacon in the west after sunset for months now. Make sure you get outside for a look early in the month, especially the nights of April 3rd and 4th, to watch this dazzling planet slip past the Pleiades star cluster. This happens every 8 years, and it'll look especially awesome through binoculars. Venus looks so astoundingly bright for two reasons. First, it's relatively close to both the Sun and the Earth. And second, it's completely covered by highly reflective clouds. And as you gaze on Venus and the Pleiades, ponder this tidbit. The light you see from Venus bounced off its clouds just 5.5 minutes ago, but the light from the stars of the Pleiades left 442 years ago, in the late 1500s. Sometimes called the Seven Sisters, the Pleiades are what astronomers call an open star cluster, a family of stars, about 1,000 in all, that formed together at the same time, in this case about 100 million years ago. Over time, they'll gradually drift apart and become scattered among the surrounding stars of the Milky Way. Once it gets a little darker, look to the left of Venus to glimpse what's left of the brilliant stars of winter, which are sinking lower toward the western horizon with each passing night. Highest up is the bright star Procyon, in the constellation Canis Minor, the little dog. Well to its right, above Venus by about 3 times the width of your fist at arm's length, is the bright star Capella. In between Procyon and Capella, and a little higher up, are a nice pair of equally bright stars. These are Pollux and Castor, the twins of Gemini. Can you tell which is which? Just remember that Pollux, on the left, is closer to Procyon, and both names begin with a P. Castor, on the right, is closer to Capella, and both of those begin with C. Pollux is also a little brighter, in part because it's closer to us, just 34 light-years away, compared to 52 for Castor. These two stars mark the heads of mythology's twin brothers, by different fathers, it seems, and at this time of year their heads are on top of their bodies, which hang side by side toward the horizon. Below the feet of Gemini, look for the distinctive hourglass shape of Orion, the Hunter. The unmistakable trio of stars marking Orion's belt is framed above by brilliant Betelgeuse, marking a shoulder, and below by somewhat brighter Rigel, in his foot. Follow the belt's stars toward lower left to reach the brightest nighttime star, Sirius, in Canis Major, the Big Dog. Follow them to the upper right to locate Aldebaran, the ginger ale-colored star that marks the eye of Taurus, the Bull. Sadly, April will be the last month to see Orion and Taurus for a while. Now turn to face north, raise your gaze high, and you'll immediately recognize our old friend the Big Dipper. It's positioned with its bowl at upper left and its handle curving toward lower right. According to old farmer's lore, it's upside down right now, as if dumping April showers. For now, Venus is the only bright planet in the evening sky. But it's a different story in the sky that you'll see in the morning before dawn. There, you'll find three more planets. Jupiter, the brightest, rises first and is well up in the southeast as twilight begins. To its left are Saturn and Mars, which appear roughly the same brightness. But can you detect a slightly reddish hue in Mars, at least compared to Saturn? Before dawn, on April 9th, these three planets are almost equally spaced, with Saturn in the middle. After that, Mars slips farther left, while Jupiter and Saturn migrate as a pair toward west. I want to mention four quick things before closing. First, April is the month of the Lyrid meteor shower, which peaks on the night of April 21st and 22nd. And since the moon is just about new, you won't have any interference from moonlight. These shooting stars seem to radiate from a point in the sky near the constellation Lyra, the Lyre, which rises in late evening. But you'll see more of them after midnight, maybe one every 5 to 10 minutes. Next, during the middle 2 weeks of April, you can participate in the Globe at Night project. This is a fun and easy way for you, your family, and your friends to judge just how much light pollution is overhead. You'll be looking to see how many stars you can spot in and around the constellation Leo, which is about halfway up in the east once it gets dark. No equipment or experience is needed. For more details, go to globeatnight.org. During the following week, April 19th to 26th, we can all celebrate International Dark Sky Week. If you appreciate a really dark night sky, and who doesn't, go to idsw.darksky.org to learn more. Finally, April is Global Astronomy Month. Amateur stargazers worldwide will be participating in all kinds of events at small and large scales. Check out all the plans at gam-awb.org. That's about it for this month. If you want more tips for viewing the night sky, including a free interactive star chart for any time or date, check out our website, skyandtelescope.org. If you haven't already subscribed, you can find Sky Tour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. And please, leave a rating or a review. It'll help others find the show. And if you want to explore the solar system and universe more deeply, please do check out the full line of binoculars and telescopes available at Celestron.com. Sky Tour is a production of Sky and Telescope, a division of the American Astronomical Society, and is produced by me, Kelly Beatty. Next month, I'll introduce you to what I call the Swiss Army knife of the night sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.